As they are receiving this offering, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your gifts that allow us to continue to travel on and do what God has called us to do. I would also mention, just before we look at the Word of God, that yes, we've got all of our product that's here today, and we've got a CD called Counting My Blessings. We sang that song this morning because I believe that we have so many blessings to count. I sang that song, Pray On, and Richard and Michaela sang, I'm Expecting a Miracle. They're all on that brand new CD. But we also have a trumpet trombone and a Christmas one and a hymns one, so all sorts of different CDs that are available. I've written three books, Michaela's Heart, Moment by Moment, about my granddaughter. Two other books, Joy for the Journey and Joy Continued. I'm going to bring a message this morning called Pray On. Well, I sang that song a moment ago. We also have a black and orchid t-shirt out there that says Pray On it. Someone just the other day had purchased one, texted us and said, I was wearing that shirt and someone stopped and asked me, what does that mean? And I had a chance to share with them. I was excited about that. I really was. So with those books, those CDs, the shirts, they're $15 each, any two for 20. And then we've got three different thumb drives for those of you who no longer have CD capacities to play them. And those thumb drives are $20 each. We'll take cash, checks, and all kinds of credit cards. Wow, homecoming. Some of you are looking at your watches, perhaps, and saying, when are we going to lunch? In the words of Elizabeth Taylor to her last husband, you won't be here long. The rest of you will get that later. And a pastor told me that I just had to use it on somebody. We are so blessed every single week to be on more than 80 radio stations around this country. And now we're in 88 countries on television as well. So this morning we're going to just use the cameras, televise this, and trust that it'll be used in the future, either on radio or television or both. But thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Pray on. Pray on is what I want to talk about. And I want to look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, a familiar portion of Scripture. You know, this church, founded in 1907, this is the 116th homecoming. I believe it was founded on faith. It was founded on the Word of God, and it was founded on prayer. And if you're going to continue to see the church grow and continue to get stronger, then prayer has got to be a key to that. I don't think sometimes we understand the power of prayer, but God still hears and answers prayer. Daniel knew that. And Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. Now there's the problem right there. Daniel he placed over everybody, and therefore they were jealous of Daniel. How can we get rid of him? What can we do? And so they came up with a plan. It says in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. What was the spirit? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And it got the king's attention. And he placed Daniel over everyone. So all of these men got together. And they're trying to decide, how can we get rid of Daniel? They couldn't think of anything. I mean, here was a man of God. Here's a man that they could not find one fault. Wouldn't it be great if people would say of you and me today, I can't find one fault with that person? They couldn't find it with Daniel. Except They said, this Daniel prays. He prays. And so they said, let's go to the king, King Darius, get him to sign something that if anybody asks anything of anybody but you, king, he'll be thrown into the den of lions. Well, the king was all puffed up. I mean, yeah, that's what I'd love to hear, is everybody needs to come to me. I'm the great one. And that's what King Darius is thinking. And so he signs the decree. And what does Daniel do? He continues to pray. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This didn't scare Daniel. They said, you can't pray. Daniel continued to pray three times a day, and he didn't hide it. His windows were wide open so that anybody could see. Let me share several things from this pastor's scripture. First of all, there's not a doubt that the devil, Satan, devised a plan. It was Satan that devised the plan, and he said, let's try to get Daniel to stop praying. You see, he knows the power of prayer. So he devised a plan, got these people, these men, all together, and they're saying, we can stop Daniel from praying if we go to the king and say they can't ask anything except for you, king. Devised a plan. Satan has always devised plans. You used to be able to pray before a high school football game, but Satan has pretty much gotten that stopped, hasn't he? I went to a public school in eighth grade. All of us in the eighth grade English had to learn and memorize Psalm 23 and the first Psalm. You can't do that anymore. I mean, I could go on and on. Satan has devised a plan. And there's nothing that Satan would like better than to take as many people to hell as he possibly can with him. There's nothing he'd like better than to destroy your Christian testimony, your Christian life, and mine. There's nothing he'd like better than to destroy his church, this church. So let's make sure that we stay close to God and don't allow Satan to have his way. Satan devised a plan. But what did Daniel do? Daniel prayed. It wasn't going to stop him. It used to be, it seems like, church placed a great emphasis on prayer, but we're seeing it less and less around our country today. I remember after 9/11, I was still pastoring then, and we called for a noontime for prayer. And everybody in the community came. That filled that church up. And you know how long that lasted? A week, 2 weeks. Prayer. It used to be you'd go into a restaurant and you'd see families praying, and you still might in this area, but we get into a lot of areas around this country where you'll not find one single family praying before their meal. We've stopped praying. We don't place such an emphasis on our personal prayer lives like we should. There's power in prayer. You want to see your kids growing up to know Christ? Pray. You want to make sure that they find the right person to marry? Pray. You want to make sure that your pastor's preaching powerfully from the Word of God? Pray for him. That's what he wants. That's what he needs. That's what we need of each other. And Daniel went into his house, put the windows up, and he continued to pray there in verse 10. As a result, the men all went to King Darius and said, Daniel's praying. He's asking from someone else except for you. And Darius knew he had been trapped. And it was going to be necessary to take Daniel and throw him into the lion's den. Verse 22. After being placed down there, and the next day the king came, he says, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He prayed, God protected him. God protected him. And I believe that when we do what's right, God will protect us. By the way, Daniel would have been a winner either way. Whether he was ushered in the presence of God, or whether he was delivered from the lion's den, either way, he was a winner. Can you imagine being put down that lion's den? His knees must have been shaking together. Mine would have been. I've been in several situations where I've been scared, and I'm sure you have as well. Several years ago, we were invited to come to Central America. And I'm sure, Brother Billy, you've heard me share this story because it made such an impact on my life. We went to Central America for ministry, just Richard and I were able to go. It changed our lives, I'll tell you that. Anytime you go on a missions trip, it'll change your life. But one day, a pastor came to us and said, I'm building a new church. Would you come and pray over the building, over the people that'll come? Would you come? Would you come and pray? Well, we were with a mission, and we had to say to the mission, is it possible that we can go this afternoon and pray with this pastor? And they said yes, and they let us use a van. They gave us a driver, an interpreter, and two other guys came from the United States, and so the four of us went off in that van. So we're driving down the road. It was a road just like ours, just like the road out in front here, until the driver turned and was going up this dirt road, and it turned into grass and wasn't any place that any of us would have wanted to drive our cars on. We went up as far as we could go until there were trees in front of us. I looked over to the side and I said, there's the pastor. There's the building that he's building. He was so excited and excited to see us come. And all of a sudden, a gang of men came out of the woods with machetes, rifles, automatic rifles, and they surrounded our van. And you're horrified. Can't believe this is happening. The interpreter turned around and said, from what I can hear them say, they intend to kill one of you and take the other three hostage. You think my knees weren't shaking together? But what do you suppose that we did? We prayed. We prayed. Just like I'm pretty sure that's what Daniel did down there in the lion's den. We prayed. And we were in there for hours, and the temperature seemed to get hotter and hotter. It was hot that day anyway, and you're in that van, and you're wondering what's going to happen next. Are they going to take my life? My son's life? One of the other two men, what? And all of a sudden, and I'm making this long story very short, after they'd brought someone in to negotiate for us, the negotiator got into our van and said, let's go. And the driver put it into reverse, and we started backing back away, watching carefully this gang of men who were there ready to take one of our lives. And just like God shut the lion's mouth, It's as if he froze these men. They just stood there and watched us back away. And then the interpreter said, we gave them bank cards. The most they can cash is $500, so we gave them $500 for each of you. And Richard, my son, looked at me and said, I sure thought I was worth more than $500. Here we are in a tense situation. I was able to use one of the other two men's cell phones to just text home, email home. Had we paid a little extra money on our cell phones, we'd have been able to do the same thing, but we were saving money. Anyway, texted home to my wife and simply said, safe now, safe at last. Here's what was going on at home. When I finally got home a few days later, my wife said, never has this happened in her life before, but she said, I knew that day you were in trouble. She said, I took one of our coffee tables and I put it in front of me, went into the living room, sat on the couch. She said, I spread all the paperwork in front of me to say, where are they today? Where are they going? And she said, I just cried and prayed and cried and prayed. And friends, she was praying at the exact time when we needed her to pray for us. And she didn't even know what was going on. We got home after that. That very first Sunday, we got in on a Friday night. Sunday, we were singing. At the end, we had our table where our product is. And I usually just take care of the people right in front of me because I don't want to be rude and go around people. But this hand went up and over everybody. And I reached up and I kind of touched that hand. And this man looked through the crowd that I really didn't know that well. And he said, I didn't know why, but when you told that story tonight, I needed to tell you that that day I was coming home from work and it was such a strong feeling in my heart, I needed to pray for you. And he said, I pulled my pickup truck over to the side of the road and I knelt and I prayed for you and Richard. And God heard and answered his prayer. I'm so glad that Susan prayed for us that day. I'm glad that man prayed for us that day. We sat in that van and we prayed. Most of all, I'm thankful that we still have a God that answers prayer. Amen. Keep praying. So Daniel was protected. We see that Satan devised a plan. We see that Daniel prayed. We see Daniel was protected. I just have three more and I'm just going to list them. I'm not going to talk about them really much. We see in verse 24, the other men were punished. The king commanded that they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, the lions had mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Don't ever tell me that your sin doesn't affect anybody else. Their sin caused their wives and their children to get put into that den with them. We need to be living holy, godly lives. Verse 28, Daniel prospered. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He prospered. You want to prosper? You want the church to prosper? Pray. Continue to pray. I had this man call me this week. He's about 75 years of age. He said, I was out mowing my lawn. He said, my wife has an aunt that has never accepted Christ. So if he's 75, I don't know how old the aunt is, but he said, God just placed on my heart. So I started praying for her. He said, I got off the lawnmower. I called my wife's aunt. And I went through the plan of salvation with her. And you know what? She prayed the sinner's prayer to accept Christ as her Savior. Amen. That man prayed. And he saw results. And so will you. And so will our family as we continue to pray. 116 years. If God tarries, may it go on another 116 years. Although I think we're going to hear the trumpet sounding before that. But if it doesn't, keep praying, keep preaching the word, and have faith. And God will continue to bless this church in a great and mighty way. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this man Daniel who prayed. And I ask, Lord, today that we'd be people of prayer. Lord, I cannot imagine if everyone in this congregation prayed today and was faithful in praying, this county, this state, this country could be turned upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless this church and this ministry, I pray. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, not taking a long time, but I'm going to at least ask, do you know for sure if you were to die today, or if Jesus were to come back, that you're going to go to be with him? You say, I hope so, I think so, maybe. Why not know so? Has there been a time when you've personally trusted Christ as your Savior? I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You might say, that's exactly what I need. How can I have it? If you'll pray a prayer of faith, God will hear you. He'll answer you. You can use your words or you can use mine. Just tell him. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Save me. Did you pray that prayer? You really meant it? His heads are bowed, eyes closed, so that I could pray for you right now. If you prayed the prayer to accept Christ, would you be willing right where you're at just to slip your hand up and then slip right back down, and by that uplifted hand just saying, pray for me. I just prayed to accept Christ as my Savior. Thank you. You prayed that prayer? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we've spent and shared together. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless pastor, people, in a great and mighty way. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.